الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب إغضاب الزوج باب إغضاب الزوج The chapter with regards to making the husband angry The chapter with regards to making the husband angry angering him making him upset and making him unhappy with his spouse. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that with regards to the woman, after the right of her Lord and the right of her Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who has the greatest right upon her, the one who has the greatest right upon her is her husband, and is from the way of a righteous and a noble believing woman, that she will seek the pleasure of her Lord by seeking the pleasure of her husband and seeking to please her husband. So this affair here is considered religion and deen, something that a woman, she will take as her deen and way of life, that she will seek to please her husband and hope that he will be happy with her. In doing this, she is seeking the pleasure of Allah. In doing this, she is seeking the pleasure of Allah. So the author, he says, Babu Ighdab al-Zawj, the chapter with regards to upsetting or making the husband angry. Wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, and the statement of Allah the Most High, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ, therefore the righteous women. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ أي مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, the righteous from the women, قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ That the righteous women, they are qanitat, meaning they are devoutly obedient. They are devoutly obedient. And also they are from those who protect and preserve their husband and the rights of their husband in his absence. In his absence, بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ يعني by the protection of Allah for them and the guidance of Allah for them. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ That the righteous women, they are those who are devout, devoutly obedient, and they are those who protect and preserve their husband and the rights of their husband in his absence. And this is a grace and a blessing upon them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some descriptions of the righteous woman. There are some descriptions of the righteous woman here, and the first one is that they're described with al-qunut. They're described with al-qunut, and the people of knowledge, they mention al-qunut, dawam al-ta'a. Yani that a person is considered qanit, or she is considered qanita, meaning that he or she is in constant obedience, yani in sincere devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal, in constant obedience. And as we have seen in a number of classes previously, in this particular book specifically, that in order to fulfill the rights of Allah, one must also observe the rights of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given rights. That one must observe the rights of those whom Allah has given rights from mankind. And from those great rights, here the issue of the husband. So for this reason, a number of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned here the meaning of qanitat. Yani linguistically is yani muti'at. Muti'at, but the people of Allah, as they mentioned, muti'at li rabbihinna wa li azwajihinna, that they are obedient, they are devoutly obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal and to their husbands. And this is the interpretation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. He has mentioned qanitat, yani muti'at li azwajihinna, that these righteous women, they are those who are devoutly obedient, meaning to their husbands. Meaning to their husbands. And this is considered an action of righteousness whenever that obedience to their husband is done for the sake of Allah and according to the legislation and the law of Allah. Likewise, from their description, حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ, and he preserving in the unseen, meaning in the absence. And what is intended here likewise, تَحْفَظُ زَوْجَهَا فِي غَيْبَتِهِ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَفِي مَالِهِ, that she protects the right and the honor of her husband in his absence, yani with regards to herself and her honor and reputation, and likewise with regards to his wealth and property. And likewise with regards to his wealth and property. بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ, in that which Allah He has protected and preserved, yani bi tawfiq ilahi laha bi dhalika wa tasdidihi laha. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has given her success to establish that, and He is the one who has guided her and favored her with that. So the point is clear from the author that from the attribute of the righteous, women, is that they are obedient to Allah. And from that obedience to Allah is that they will be likewise obedient to their husband. So disobeying the husband and angering the husband and not pleasing the husband and that which is allowed in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla is considered a great crime and a major sin. The author, he mentions a number of evidences clarifying this. He says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعة, that has been narrated by Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, والذي نفسي بيده ما من رجل يدعو امرأته إلى فراشه فتأبى عليه إلا كان الذي في السماء ساخطا عليها حتى يرضى عنها زوجها. وفي رواية إلا لعنتها الملائكة حتى تصبح. أخرجاه. يعني the author, he says that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَلَذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands. And he's swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, beginning this narration in this manner to emphasize the gravity of this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is as we all know, as sadiqul masduq, that he is the one who is the most truthful. As-Sadiq al-Amin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Masduq, he's the one who's aided with the revelation. And if he swears by Allah upon an affair, this is an indication of the gravity of this issue. That is something very serious and something very important. And that one, he should pay attention and listen and take this affair seriously. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, that there is no man who calls his wife to the bed, except that the one who is above the heavens will be angry with her until he's pleased with her. Until her husband is pleased with her. So this is an indication that this is a major sin. Illa kana alladhi fi sama, yani Allah Azza wa Jal, kana sakhitan alayha. That the one who is above the heavens, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be angry with her. And we have seen that this is from the indications that an action is a major sin. If the anger of Allah is mentioned, that the anger or the wrath of Allah will be upon a person who performs or says a particular action. So this is an evidence for this issue specifically. And it's very beneficial to see how the author, he has arranged this affair, mentioning the issue and the dangers and the fact that angering the husband is from the major sins. This is from the greatest means that a woman could anger her husband, that could upset him and cause him to become angry with her. That he will be in need of this affair, and his desires will be riled up, and he will need to take care of that issue, and he will call her, the one whom Allah has allowed him to partake and enjoy himself, and to relieve this call with regards to, and to enjoy himself in this manner with, and then she would refuse, and this is from the greatest rights that he has upon her. The indication of this is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, there is no man who calls his wife to the bed and then she refuses. And if she refuses, she does not obey him and answer his call to that which he wants, except that the one who is above the heavens will be angry with her until her husband is pleased with her. The author, he mentioned in one narration, except that the angels, they will curse her until she wakes up in the morning. They will curse her until the morning comes. She will spend the night while the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla are cursing her, and he's supplicating against her. And we see likewise that this is an indication as well. The la'nat, for the curse to be upon someone for performing a particular action, this is likewise a clarification that it is a major sin. So here, by the woman refusing to obey her husband in this particular situation and circumstance specifically, is a means for her to earn the anger of Allah, and likewise the anger of the angels, and the angels will supplicate against her. And we know that the la'na is al-ib'adu an rahmatillah, that yani the la'na and the curse is that it is in, what is intended by that is that one will be cast away far from the mercy of Allah, that one will be cast far away from the mercy of Allah. So then indeed this is a major affair. And likewise it is known as well that the angels, that the angels, their supplication is the supplication that is mustajaba. Da'watul malaika mustajaba, the call and the supplication of the angels is a supplication that is responded to. Is a supplication that is responded to. In some wordings that's mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about this, that if he called his wife to the bed and she refused, فَبَاتَتْ زَوْجُهَا عَلَيْهَا غَضْبَانٍ إِلَّا لَعْنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ. That if her husband, if she spent the night while her husband is angry with her because of this affair, if she spent the night while her husband is angry with her because of this affair, then the angels, they will curse her until the morning. Then the angels, they will curse her until the morning. Likewise, in the narration that we see here, حَتَّى يَرْضَ عَنْهَا زَوْجُهَا, that Allah, He will continue to be angry with her until her husband is pleased with her. Until her husband is pleased with her. So this is something that the woman, she will perform whether she is desiring this affair or not. She will perform that, yani for the sake of Allah, giving this right, believing in Allah, and hoping for the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing the curse of the angels and the anger of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And this is from fulfilling the rights of the husband, which is in turn fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise, he mentioned, لَا تَجِدُ امْرَأَةٌ حَلَاوَةُ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تُؤَدِّيَ حَقَّ زَوْجِهَا. That the woman she will not find the sweetness of faith, the true sweetness of sincere faith, until she performs the right of her husband. Until she performs the right of her husband. And likewise in other narrations authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, لَا تُؤَدِّي الْمَرْأَةُ حَقَّ رَبِّهَا حَتَّى تُؤَدِّيَ حَقَّ زَوْجِهَا. That the woman, she will never truly perform the right of her Lord until she performs the right of her husband. The right of her husband. So the woman, she will give her husband his rights for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Not if he gives her rights. Not if she's in the mood. Not if she wants this or wants that. Not if it's in her best interest. None of this. This is not what is considered in the woman who is considered saliha. Saliha, she is qanita. Qanita lillahi azza wa jal. Muti'a lillahi wa li zawjiha. Meaning that she is devoutly obedient to Allah azza wa jal and also obedient to her husband. And from the greatest of fears that she must be obedient to her husband with regards to is this issue here. With regards to the faraj. The people of knowledge, they say, with regards to what is mentioned here about she will spend the night while her husband is angry with her, then the angels will continue to curse her till the morning time. And if this is because the majority of the time the call for this affair will be at night time. But the people of knowledge have mentioned likewise that if her husband had called her at dhuhr time, for example, if her husband had called her for this affair at dhuhr time, for example, and she refused without right, then likewise that curse from the angels and the anger of the one who is above the heavens likewise will continue for her all day until the evening time. All day until the evening time. So this is not something that is restricted to nighttime, that she has to respond to this affair, or that this threat is upon her only at nighttime. Rather, it is at any time. So the woman, she will perform this rite, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the husband, he will take care of this affair as well. And this is something that they will seek the reward from Allah with regards to, and that is to keep each other chaste. And especially in these days, and especially for the husband, because it's known that the sexual desires in the male generally are riled up easier and they are greater and more stronger than they are in the woman. This is generally the case, that the woman, she can be patient with regards to this affair better than a man. And a man, many times, if this affair gets riled up in his heart and his mind, it will not go away. It will not go away and it will disturb him. It would not go away and it would disturb him, and it would disturb his thinking and the likes like this, and it would disturb his day and his manners and the way that he moves. It will bother him. It will bother him in a great manner. So this is something that has to be taken care of. And the way to take care of that is with the wife. With the wife, yani in this manner, that this pleasure, that this desire, it has to be relieved. It has to be taken care of. And Allah has allowed for the believers to fulfill that desire and take care of that relief with his wife. So therefore, for her to refuse this in this time, this is from the major affairs, especially that the fitan and the trials that we see today. A man, maybe he will have to go out into the world and seek a living and to earn a dollar, and he'll be faced with all type of foul images and meeting people unintentionally and seeing things that he did not want to see. and he's forced to look at images that he's not looking for himself. And a number of times a man, he will see something that's forbidden, and he will turn away and fear Allah. And then as soon as he turns away, he turns his away, and there's an image that is even worse where he turned from. He turned his eyes to another direction, and the image is even worse. He'll look up to try to avoid everything, and then there will be a giant billboard with an image that is even more severe and more disgusting. Waliyadu billah. And he's not even yani looking for this affair, but this is the trial of these days. So he will see that, and this will affect the man. It will cause his desires to rile up. This is the case of the human being. And this is the case of a man. So therefore, a woman, she should keep this in mind, and for the sake of Allah, help to keep her husband chaste, and help to keep him safe and far away from fornication and from zina, or from looking at the foul images and taking delight in that, in the light side this. So this is something that is very, very serious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave great concern with regards to this, swearing by Allah azza wa jalla in this situation to clarify the dangers of this affair, mentioning the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla will be incurred upon this person, and likewise that the angels, they will curse her as well. The author, he says, وَعَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. And likewise, it has been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ كُنْتُ أَمِيرًا أَحَدًا أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا. صَحَّحَهُ الترمذي. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, if I was going to order anyone to prostrate before anyone, I would order the woman to prostrate before her husband. If I were going to order anyone to prostrate before anyone, then I would order the wife, then I would order the woman to prostrate before her husband. What is intended here by the prostration is a prostration of tahiyyah, sujood tahiyyah. And this was allowed in the previous nations. And it's mentioned in the story of Yusa alayhi salatu wasalam, that whenever his family came, they fell down in prostration before him. And this is considered a type of greeting. This was considered in their time and in their days a type of greeting. This was known in their customs, in their culture, that they would prostrate before one another as a type of greeting. Similar like today, whenever a person, he would meet his brother, he would shake his hand. What was known in their customs in those days was that one of them would prostrate before the other one. This was not a prostration of ibadah. And the prostration of ibadah is not intended here. What is intended is the prostration of greeting. It's a prostration of greeting. It's called sujood al-tahiyyah. And this is something that was known in the previous nations, and it was allowed. As for in the legislation, and after the completion and the perfection of the deen, then the sujood is not allowed except for the sake of Allah. And there's only one type of sujood. It's called sujood ibadah. There's no sujood tahiyyah. And the legislation of Al-Islam and the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the completion and the perfection of the legislation and the coming of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the avenues and the pathways and the means that lead to every deficiency in creed and in belief and in tawheed has been cut off and has been blocked and has been stopped. And the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the legislation that was revealed to him is the strongest with regards to blocking the pathways that lead to shirk and blocking the avenues that lead to corruption and to evil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bu'ithu bil hanifiyya samha. I was sent with al-hanifiyya. Al-Hanifiyya is the religion of pure and sincere Islamic monotheism. Al-Hanifiyya meaning to turn away from every aspect of shirk. And everything that would lead to shirk. Hanifiyya, to make the deen purely. And the intention will be directed entirely and devoted to Allah alone. Hanifiyya fil aqidah. That the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Hanifiyya in the creed. Meaning it's pure. It's pure. And the devotion is sincerity for Allah alone. And the samha. The samha meaning it's easy and facilitated. This is in the legislation. Hanafiyya fil aqidah wa samha fi sharia. That the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is easy and facilitated. But as for the creed, then it's pure. And all of the avenues that could lead to corrupting the creed. The creed of Tawheed has been closed and has been stopped and has been cut off and forbidden in the legislation. And the legislation of Al-Islam after it has been perfected and completed. So therefore it's not allowed to prostrate before anyone, not as a greeting or not as anything else. The prostration is allowed for, and the only one who deserves that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is intended here, if I were going to order somebody to prostrate before somebody, not the prostration of ibadah. This is not what is intended. Some people have misunderstood this affair. Some people have misunderstood this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never order somebody to worship somebody else. Whether he came with tawheed and the purification of the creed and cutting and blocking off every avenue and every pathway that would lead to shirk. So he would never order somebody to perform an action of worship for anyone from the creation. Rather, he forbade that and he blocked that and stopped that and cut off every avenue to that. So what is intended here is sujood at-tahiyyah. If I were going to order somebody to prostrate, yani to humble themselves in this manner, yani as a means of greeting, as a means of greeting and showing respect, then I would order the woman to do that. But he did not do that because this is from the means that would lead to shirk and lead to the violation of the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what is intended here. This is what is intended here. And Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, Babu Adha As-Salihin. Babu Adha As-Salihin. The chapter with regards to harming the righteous, annoying them and bothering them. Yani annoying them and bothering them, yani, and annoying them and harming them with the tongue or in action and deed. Yani harming them with speech or harming them and bothering them, annoying them with the tongue. Yani talking bad about them and saying things to them that upset them or harm them and bother them and annoy them, or likewise doing things as well. Doing things, any actions of speech. Harming the righteous, it's not allowed. It's not allowed to bother them and annoy them and to upset them. This is likewise from those great sins. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah, the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. That indeed those who bother and annoy the believing men and the believing women without right, for something that they do not deserve, then indeed they bear the great sin of slander and clear sin. They bear the deed of slander and clear sin. So this is likewise a clarification that this is not allowed. Harming the believers, harming them and talking bad about them, or saying things that they dislike, upsetting them, annoying them and bothering them, whether verbally or physically. The author, he says, An Abi Jubair. This narration here is in Sahih Muslim, and Allah knows best. There's a mistake here, or there is another wording that I have not come across, but what is mentioned in Sahih Muslim is Abu Hubayra, and his name is A'id ibn Amr, Abu Hubayra. He's the one who's narrating this narration. And his name is Abu Hubayra, A'id ibn Amr. He says, as it reads in Sahih Muslim, that it would be from the hadith of A'id ibn Amr, an Abi Hubayra, anna Aba Sufyan ata ala Sulayman wa Suhayb wa Bilal fi nafarin, faqalu ma akhadat suyufullahi ma akhadaha min unuqi aduwillah. فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه أتقولون هذا للشيخ قريش وسيديهم؟ فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبره فقال يا أبا بكر لعلك أغضبتهم، لئن كنت أغضبتهم فقد أغضبت ربك فقال يا أخوتا لعلي أغضبتكم، فقالوا لا يغفر الله لك يا أخي. رواه مسلم. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hubayra. And that nuskha was to say?
Abi Hubayra.
Hurayra?
Hurayra?
No. You sure Hurayra? La, it's Abi Hurayra. It's Abu Hubayra. This is the point. In Sahih Muslim, the narrator is, the companion who's narrating this is Abu Hubayra. Bilba, Hubayra. Abu Hubayra, Aid ibn Amr. His name is Aid ibn Amr, Abu Hubayra. Abu Hubayra. Wallahu a'lam. أنا نظر في نسخة صحيح مسلم المعتمدة يعني. This is the book is like this here, but as for the Sahih Muslim, if you look in Sahih Muslim, which is the, and if you want to reference these affairs, you want to find out what is affirmed, you look in the reliable print of the text that he referred to. So he referred the narration to Al-Imam Muslim. So this narration is found in Sahih Muslim, but when you look there in the chain, the narrator is Aid ibn Amr, Abu Hubayra. Abu Hubayra. He says, أن أبو سفيان أتى على سليمان وسهيب وبلال. That Abu Hubayra, رضي الله عنه, he says that Abu Sufyan, he came across Sulaiman. يعني Sulaiman, this is also a mistake, huh? Salman. He came across Salman. There's another mistake here. He came across Salman al-Farisi. Here says Sulaiman. Salman. يعني أن أبا سفيان أتى على سلمان والسهيب وبلال. سلمان الفارسي والسهيب الرومي وبلال ابن رباح. It is known that these are from the people of knowledge. They mentioned that these three individuals here, سلمان الفارسي والسهيب الرومي وبلال ابن رباح رضي الله عنهم, هم من فقراء المسلمين. من فقراء المسلمين ومن سادات المؤمنين. هكذا التعبير. من فقراء المسلمين. They're from the poor of the Muslims. ومن سادات المؤمنين. And from the best of the believers. And from the best of the believers. رضي الله عنهم. But it's known that they were from the poor. يعني they were from the poor of the Muslims. And a number of times, يعني maybe people would look down upon the poor people. This particular issue here was after the treaties of Hudaybiyah. Whenever there's peace. There's a peace treaties, and the believers and the disbelievers there, they're moving about freely amongst each other. At this time, Abu Sufyan, this is before Abu Sufyan accepted Islam likewise. This is before Abu Sufyan accepted Islam likewise. Abu Sufyan, his name is Sakhr ibn Harb, radiallahu anhu. He accepted Islam and Islam was good, but before that he was from the leaders of Quraysh and from the greatest enemies of the believers and from those who persecuted the Muslims in a great manner, especially the weak and the poor from them. So Abu Sufyan, he's passing by Salman al-Farisi and Suhaib al-Rumi and Bilal radiallahu anhum, and whenever they seen him, they all said to him, they said, the swords of Allah did not take the right place, did not yet take their right place at the neck of the enemy of Allah. Meaning he's still alive. He's not dead yet. And he like this. They're saying this from the enmity that they have for him, and because of the hardship and because of the evils that he has done and the ills and the harms that he has brought to the believers, especially the poor from them. So whenever they see him going by, this is what they said. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was there at this time. And he says, فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَتَقُولُونَ هَذَا لِشَيْخِ قُرَيْشِ وَسَيِّدِهِمْ. He said to Salman and to Suhaib and to Bilal رضي الله عنهم. I said, are you all saying this to the Shaykh of Quraysh and to their leader? Are you all saying this to the Shaykh of Quraysh and to their leader? Like this. Yani, so we know the issue here, then he's the enemy of Allah. But there's a truce treaty. There's truce here. A treaty of peace. And Allah knows best. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's saying this here at this time, trying to soften the heart of Abu Sufyan. Yani to get him, yani to accept Islam and to try to make a relationship with him in this manner like this. Yani this is why he's mentioning this. But no doubt at this time, Abu Sufyan, he's from the enemies of Allah, from the greatest of the enemies of Allah, and the greatest of the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these three, they know that, and they declared that, and they let that be known. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he only made this statement here, and Allah knows best, as I mentioned, to try to soften the heart of Abu Sufyan, to draw him close to al-Islam. So he says, فَأَتَى النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam فَأَخْبَارَهُ. So now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him what happened. And it's a good advice about this affair. This is what happened. And they said this and I said that. And then now I'm asking for direction and guidance. I need to see about this issue. فَقَالَ يَا فَقَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger, he told him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَا أَبَا بَكَرْ أَوْ أَبَا بَكَرْ لَعَلَكَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ. He said, maybe you made them mad at you. Meaning Salman and Suhaib and Bilal, maybe you made them mad at you. Yani by saying that, they said that to the enemy of Allah, and then you said that after that to him, maybe you made them mad. Maybe you made them mad at you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَإِن كُنْتَ أَغْضَبْتَهُمْ فَقَدْ أَغْضَبْتَ رَبَّكَ. And if you made them mad, then you made your Lord mad. Then you made your Lord mad. Yani because they have the right at this time. And this is clear proof for what the author is mentioning. It's not allowed to upset the believers unrightfully and to bother them unrightfully. And this is an evidence for that. If you made them mad, then indeed you made your Lord mad. Indication that this is a major sin. This would be a major sin. If Allah becomes angry because of what someone did to a believer, if Allah becomes angry because of what someone did to a believer, meaning that what they did to him is a major sin. Is a major sin. And if the anger of Allah is mentioned, this is an indication that this, the affair is a major sin. So now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is rushing to go apologize. He hears the danger and the gravity of this affair. If you made them mad, O Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then indeed you made your Lord mad. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he goes back, فَقَالَ يَا إِخْوَتَا لَعَلِّي أَغْلَبْتُكُمْ. He said, oh my beloved brothers, maybe I made you mad. Maybe I made you mad. Yani if I made you mad, yani I apologize. So they said, قَالُوا لَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أُخَيْ. And it has come like this likewise, يَا أَخِي وَيَا أُخَيْ وَيَا أُخَيْ. They said, no, may Allah forgive you, O our beloved brother. And no doubt, Abu Bakr, he's bigger. He's bigger and he's greater. But the tasgheer here is لِلْتَحْبِيب. لِلْتَحْبِيب وَتَلَطُّف. يَا أُخَيْ, O our little brother. That's how you normally would translate this word. يَا أُخَيْ, O my little brother. Oh my little brother, but here it's being said to somebody who is greater, somebody who is older, somebody who is the big brother, not the little brother. But they're saying that, yani as a means of being kind and courteous, and a means of just expressing their love, and expressing their love. So sometimes this ism tasghir will be used in this manner like this, not to indicate that somebody is smaller, but to indicate love and care, and kindness and mercy for a person. So they said, la, la. They say, he said, maybe I made you all mad. And what I said before, and what appears to be defending him, maybe I made y'all mad. What did they say? No. La. They said, no, you didn't make us mad. You didn't make us mad. There's so many benefits here. He said, no, you didn't make us mad. يَكْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أُخَيْ. He said, no, you didn't make us mad. May Allah forgive you, our beloved brother. May Allah forgive you, our beloved brother. So the point of the author is clear, that it's not allowed to upset or make the believers angry. It's not allowed to upset and make the believers angry. And making a believer angry is making the Lord angry. It's making the Lord angry. And making the Lord angry is a major sin. It's a major sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But here there are a number of benefits that we see the people of knowledge mentioned. From this, what they said about him, this is what one will say to the enemies of Allah. Like this, somebody who was known for killing the believers, rather leading armies to kill the believers, torturing and persecuting the believers and kicking them from their home and taking their property and harming their women and their weak and the likes like this. This is what Quraysh was doing. Abu Sufyan, he was the leader of Quraysh. Abu Sufyan, he's the leader of Quraysh. He's the leader of Quraysh. He's the one leading the army. After the Badr of Badr, he's the one leading the army, leading the persecution. He had a great hand in harming a number of the believers. A number of the believers, radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam. He's from the companions, radiallahu anhu. But at this time, yani this is the case. So especially those who are weak from them, like Salman, and like Suhaib, and like Bilal, they experienced the greatest harm from Quraysh. Yani those who experienced the greatest persecution from Quraysh were the weak from the believers. And although all of them, they experienced that, but those who got the worst of that were the weak from them. Were the weak from them. So whenever they seen him, their enmity for him is great. And they said this, yani for the sake of Allah. They said, the swords of Allah Azza wa Jalla has not taken their place at your throat yet. And it has not taken their place at your throat yet, meaning that they're going to come. So at this time, they're saying this out of ghira for the deen. Out of ghira for the deen. Out of love for Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of hatred for the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Bil wala wal bara. But Abu Bakr, he said what he said. He said, you're saying this to the Shaykh of Quraysh and to their leader, like this. And you're saying these words here to the Shaykh of Quraysh and to their leader. So now this is what happened. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wants to go back and see. So now he went and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point that we want to take now is whenever he asked him, maybe I made you all mad at me. Maybe I upset, I made you all mad at me. They said, la. They said, no, you didn't make us mad. What was the excuse that the people of knowledge mentioned? For Abu Bakr. Was Abu Bakr defending the enemy of Allah? Would he ever build? No, he's not defending the enemy of Allah. Is he putting down the believers? Is he seeking to help the lad? No. What does he want to do? He want to soften his heart. He want to bring him close to Islam. Maybe he knows something about him. Maybe he's seen something about him. Here he is amongst the believers. He wants to try to bring him close to Islam. Allah knows best. Maybe this was a reason for him to accept Islam or to help him accept Islam. In the end, he accepted Islam. So the point of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is try to make the ta'lif, yu'allifu qalba ala al-Islam, to bring him close so that he would accept Islam. So then this is his excuse. But many times, outside of the issue here of the companions, many times others, whenever they hear the likes of the statement, maybe the first thing that they would do is accuse that person. Oh, he did. He's doing this and he's doing that. And then the bad thoughts would come. Su'adhan will come about their brother like this, but this didn't happen to them. They didn't have this su'adhan. He said, they had already made excuses for him. That's the point. Whenever this occurred, they didn't get mad at him. They didn't get upset with him. They know who Abu Bakr is, radiallahu anhu, and they know his status, and they know his allegiance for Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he is not saying this to belittle them and to praise him and the likes like this. Rather, he has a reason. Or maybe he wants to unite his heart. Maybe he wants to do this. Maybe he wants to do that. In any case, they made excuses for him and it didn't affect them. And they did not have any enmity or hatred or anger, or they did not have any accusation for him. Maybe I made you mad. What did they say? La, no. You didn't make us mad. Yaghfirullahu laka ya ukhay. May Allah forgive you, our beloved brother. Like this. So this is also from the benefits of this narration, that if somebody who is known to be upright, and somebody who's known for goodness, and something happens that's different than normal, that a person, he will not rush to accuse him or think bad about him. Rather, he will seek an excuse for him if it's possible. If the situation could ever be understood in more than one light, one of them is good and one of them is bad, it's an obligation to carry the circumstance upon the one that is good and not the one that is bad, unless there are circumstantial evidences indicating otherwise. This is the origin. This is the origin. Yeah?
Allah make us like this.
Ameen. This is the reason why we study these affairs. So it will be a proof for us, not against us. So that we can put these things into application. And this is from the ways to have peace and contentment in your life. That you don't think bad about the people who do not deserve to be thought bad of. But there are individuals who do not deserve to be thought good of likewise. So we shouldn't mix up the affair. And Umar radiallahu anhu, on the other hand, he said, مَنْ أَوْقَعَ نَفْسُهُ فِي مُوَاقِعَتُهُمْ فَلَا يَلُمَّنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. That whoever put himself in the places of accusation, the places that are doubtful and the likes like this, whoever did something, he put himself in a place where he could be accused of something bad, then let him not blame anyone except for himself if the people think bad about him. So the people who, what is apparent to them is that they're good and that they're noble, and this is what is known from them for some time, then it's an obligation to think good about them. As for those people who has come from them contrary to that, it's not allowed to think good about them. We deal with the people according to what they show us. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, what it Tirmidhi, wa hassanahu, an Abi Bakrata radiallahu anhu marfu'ah, man ahana sultan, ahanahu Allah. After this, the author, he mentions the narration of a Tirmidhi. The narration of a Tirmidhi, and he declared it to be hasan, from the hadith of Abi Bakrata radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man ahana as-sultan ahanahu Allah, that whoever belittles the authority, then Allah will belittle him. And whoever belittles or disgraces the authority, the sultan, the leader, and the authority, then Allah Azza wa Jal, he will disgrace him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces someone, there's no one to honor him. So this is the case here. Man ahana as-sultan, whoever belittles or disgraces the authority, meaning the Muslim ruler, ahanahu Allah, then Allah will disgrace him. We have seen in the previous class, likewise, that is from honoring Allah and from venerating Allah Azza wa Jalla, magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that one, he will honor and respect the just ruler. So here, this this is clear. The just ruler, we see, because he's a ruler and he's just, and the benefit that comes from that, it's an obligation. Yani to honor him, and honoring the just ruler is from honoring Allah Azza wa Jal, and from worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and fulfilling the right of Allah. Min ta'zeem Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has proceeded. Here in this narration, there's no mention of justice. Rather, it's just mentioned the ruler. So we have seen also in previous classes as well that the ruler, he must be obeyed. He must be obeyed in that which is allowed and permissible, regardless of whether he's righteous or whether he's wicked. Regardless of whether he's righteous or whether he's wicked. So this is the case. Man ahana sultan ahanahu Allah. As-sultan al-muqsid, this is clear. وَحَتَّى أَسْلْطَانِ الْفَاجِرِ الْفَاسِقِ. Even the corrupt and the evil, and the evil ruler, the one who belittles him, then his punishment is that Allah will belittle him. And we have seen the wisdom behind that. That the one who belittles and goes against the authority of the Muslim ruler, then the outcome of that is very severe. And the dangers that come behind that are very severe. So the point here again is that it's an obligation, yani to honor the believer. So if the ruler, he was upright, then no doubt this is very clear. But even if the ruler was wicked, it's an obligation to respect him and to obey him in that which is allowed and permissible, and to seek the right and the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he mentions the chapter Babu ma ja'a fil amana wa khiyanati fiha wa tafsir Al-Amana, the chapter with regards to the Amana, the trust, and the betrayal with regards to that, and the interpretation of the Amana. And we take this, inshallah, in the class to come. We only have a few classes left, inshallah ta'ala, and we finish the work. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this weekend, we will have a number of classes, and we'll try to finish by next week. So beginning Friday night, inshallah, Friday night after Maghrib, and Saturday after Fajr, and Saturday after Maghrib, and Sunday after Fajr, and Sunday after Maghrib, we'll continue in the book of Al-Kaba'ir. Inshallah, we'll complete by Sunday or Monday, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, or Tuesday, and no later than next week. And then after that, we have two more weeks, inshallah, until Ramadan, and we will begin immediately after that, Kitab al-Siyam. Min umdati al-ahkam. So right now the effort, we complete the work that we have began with al-kaba'ir. And as I mentioned, there's just a few chapters left. Not many, but it requires some effort and some time. And we try to cover as much as we can over this weekend, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, seeking his help and his aid. And then whatever from next week until we finish this work. And then even if we did not finish until yani next Wednesday, which would be the latest, inshallah, we still have 2 weeks, which yani here with these classes is 8 classes to cover yani the most important affairs of Kitab al-Siyam in Umdati al-Ahkam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to grant us success, and to make the knowledge a proof for us and not against us, and to make it easy for us to understand and realize these affairs and to apply them in our lives, in public and in private, in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. If anyone has any questions or comments or corrections with that which has proceeded.
I have a question.
No.
Is there any narration of any of the believers, even men, who experienced that with his wife and he just gave a sadaqah and didn't be angry with her?
This is a good question. Ahsanta. The people of knowledge, they refer this. I'm not aware of a narration, but this is the indication there. The issue about the woman who refused, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the Lord above the heavens, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla, he'll be angry with her until he's pleased with her, until her husband is pleased with her. The other narration that the angels will curse her all night long until the morning. So this issue here of the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal and the curse of the angels, Allah knows best, is coupled with the issue of the husband. Is he angry or not? So sometimes maybe a man, he will call his wife to this and then she will refuse, but it will not affect him, or he will repress his anger and he'll pardon her for the sake of Allah and make an excuse for her and the likes like this. So in this case, Allah knows best, Allah will not be angry with her. And in this case, likewise, Allah knows best, the angels will not curse her. This is what the people of knowledge have mentioned. So it's with regards to the anger of the husband, if he becomes angry. If she did that, and then he for he pardoned her, or he overlooked that, or he did not get angry in the likes like this, then inshallah the threat is not there, and it will not befall her. But if he was angry and the likes, and many times this will be the case, and many times that's the origin of the affair, is that this will make him angry, and he has a right to be angry, then this is the threat with regards to that. The point is that to realize that this is a right that the husband has for the sake of Allah, that Allah has given. So it should be performed for the sake of Allah. To answer the question, if the husband pardoned her or overlooked that and did not become angry with her, then inshallah, the threat will not befall her. And Allah knows best. But this is from the greatest ways to cause dissension and hatred and to cause anger and disrespect in the heart, and for the husband to have no respect for his wife if she puts him, especially if he's in need of that, especially if it's something he's dealing with. And the women should realize that this is something in the man that it would disturb him and bother him. If it's not taken care of, it can cause much problems. And then if he's not strong in his faith, it can cause even more problems. And even if he's strong in his faith and he represses, he does not even start looking at images or looking at people on the street. He continued to refrain his eyes, even if his wife forbade that. He continued to fear Allah with his eyes and not looking at anything except for that's permissible. It will still bother him inside his chemistry, his mind, the way that he thinks, it's going to affect him. It's going to bother him. It's going to make problems for him. It's going to make it hard for him. Not to mention that it could lead him to falling into that which is impermissible. So my point now is to say that even if he did not fall into something impermissible, it's going to really cause hardship for that individual. It's going to cause hardship for that person. Wadiyadhu billah. So for the woman to prohibit this, this is a foul way. And I remind the brothers, if there was a woman that was like that, Allah, He says, فَانْكِهُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ أَوْ رُبَعَ That you can marry who you like from the women, two, three, or four. So if there's a woman who's like that, then maybe you'll find one who's not like that. Because this is something that's serious, and Allah knows best. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ